Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayetze. The Shira said, L'zecha Nishmas Ula Ila Nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca, Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel, may their neshama tahiris have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. I also am going to say the Parsha Insights as a schus. Refu Shalem, I've been asking the Olam to please daven and to learn. And to, if you can, be makabel something upon yourself for Yitzchak Mordechai ben Malka, who needs Rachmei Shamayim. Please, for those who are Dhaka listening live, for those who are here in the Heichal, and for those who will Bezus Hashem hear the recording when it's sent out, please have in mind that it should be L'schus refuah shalema, Yitzchak Mordechai ben Malka. B'seich shar chayil Yisrael. It's wonderful to have everybody at our Parsha Insights to be able to look at you here in the Heichal Parshas Vayetze. I'm very grateful to you, Rebbe Avraham Buchsband. You shared with me this tremendous pshat, primarily from Rabbi Asher Weishlita. While the entire pshat is an incredible pshat, I want to take out just one part of it. So I want to make it clear it's a lengthy pshat. There are many questions. It involves a lot. As you noted, it involves a pshat from Rosh Hashanah Master Poli, which we have said countless times. We've said it most years. I've written it up in many places. So that pshat of Achein and Anoichi and the crew, that we've said many, many times. But there is one part of the magnificent pshat that you gave me from Rabbi Asher Weiss, that one chelek, I want to speak out because I think there's a lot we could say on that nekud. It all involves in the beginning of the parsha, Parshas Vayetze, we have the famous dream where Yaakov Avinu, it's called Yaakov's ladder, the dream. And in this dream, there are angels ascending and descending, and there are many explanations as to the angels that are ascending and descending. In fact, this past week, in our Shabbos afternoon shir, 45 minutes before Minchat Shabbos Kodesh, we spoke out all of these pshatim. It was the angels from Eretz Yisrael, it was the angels from Chutz Laaretz, escorting in this direction and the other direction. We also spoke out the Gemara and Chulin, that they were comparing the image up and down. We spoke out that pshat, these pshatim, I should say, many, many times. But keep in mind that pshat that we just said a moment ago, very briefly, that we did do this past Shabbos in our afternoon shir, the Gemara and Chulin, where the Gemara speaks out the idea that it was the angels that were going up and down, as the Gemara says, it was the same group of angels, and they were umistaklin, they were looking at the image of Yaakov Avinu, that there wasn't Shemayim, they descended and they saw that same image, and they were, as we said on Shabbos Kodesh, Mishtaimim, they were incredulous. We use that concept to speak out that every one of us has that image in Shemayim, and then there's the image of how we actually are in this world. And when we, like Yaakov Avinu, based on that Gemara and Chulin, are able to match up the images, in fact, we use that to explain by Akedas Yitzchak. That's why it says that a Malach called out to Avram min Hashamayim, because that angel was in Shamayim. That may have been the angel that was standing by the Kisei HaKavod, looking at the image of Avram Avinu. And as soon as he saw that Avram successfully passed in the sign of the Akedah, that he was willing to Shecht Yitzchak, what does that angel in Shamayim call out? Avraham, Avraham. In other words, he says the name twice. Avraham, the image upstairs, and Avraham, the image downstairs, Zemamasho Todavar. And every one of us have that opportunity, Avraham, Avraham, Yaakov, Yaakov, whatever your name is, to try to make sure each and every day we're given another opportunity that the image, that picture that's in every one of us, not just because we share the same last name, there's an image of every one of us in Shemayim. And that image Do we match up the way we behave, our actions, reactions, and everything here? Because when we do, Avraham, Avraham, and that's why the pasuk specifically says that that angel by Akedah Yitzchak that called out min Hashemayim, because the angel was there looking at that heavenly image. And like it says over here, oilim v'yardim, up and down, watch, it's the same image. Avraham, Avraham. That image upstairs and that image downstairs is exactly the same. Every one of us have that same opportunity. And that's what the Gemara in Chulin tells us, that they were the very same group of angels of the Malachim, but they were ascending and descending, looking at the image and realizing how wonderfully it matched up. But if you do take a look at the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says that these angels wanted to harm and endanger Yaakov Avinu. Why? Zachrashi, this kavana, this intent of theirs was machmas kina. They were motivated by jealousy, presumably the jealousy that I've spoken about the last few minutes. By Yavo Yaakov Sholem, that he achieved such shleimus and perfection that the angels were ascending and descending. They were incredulous at the perfection that he achieved by matching of this image with the image that there was in Shemayim. The angels wanted to harm him, machmas kina. They were motivated by jealousy. Reb Asher Weiss, Zoller Gesundten Steinstein, asks on this Gemara and the story that we've spoken about the last few minutes a number of questions, but the one, the only one that I want to focus on for the purpose of tonight's shiur is a fabulous question. How can the malach, the angel, possibly feel jealousy, kina? The Gemara in Shabbos, that Peites Amid Aleph, tells us, it's a famous Gemara, often this Gemara is spoken out on Shavuos, when the Malachi Hashareis want to know, why is it that the Torah, the most priceless gift in the world, the Torah is being given to mere mortal? Why are we not receiving the Torah, the Malachi Hashareis, the heavenly angels want to know, and they protest? Why should that hidden treasure be given to flesh and blood, to mere mortal? Moshe Rabbeinu presents arguments and answers their complaints on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And one part, the Gemara says, of that which he says on behalf of us, why we, mere mortal, flesh and blood, deserve the Torah. And it doesn't say Torah Lo Bashamayim, it doesn't stay with the Malachim, with the angels. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kina Yesh Beinechem, is there jealousy among you? Meaning to say, you don't possess the Yetzirah that causes jealousy, desire, temptation towards any of the things like killing or committing any of those averus. In other words, if you have no jealousy that would drive you to do those things, so clearly the Torah is not directed at you, because the Torah says, le'sirtzach, le'signav, le'sinav. Now that can't be directed towards the heavenly angels, because they wouldn't commit any of those things if they don't have any feelings of jealousy. So obviously the Torah was directed at us, and the Malachim conceded, you're right, it's meant for mankind, not for us in Shemayim. Apparently the words, the winning argument, if you will, was written up so wonderfully, was that Moshe Rabbeinu said those three words, Kina Yesh Beinechem. Seemingly that means you angels don't possess jealousy. You don't have any kina. And since you don't have any kina, you cannot have a desire for those. Averus obviously was meant for Bnei Yisrael. So Rav Asher Weiss asks a blatant contradiction. It seems to be a stira from the Gemara in Shabbos to the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin that speaks about the dream in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze says that the reason they wanted to cause Yaakov Avinu harm was because Machmas Kina, the Malach and the angels, they were jealous. They were jealous. They were envious in Kina. But the Gemara in Shabbos is clearly saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, the winning argument that he said was, Kina Yesh Beinechem? You don't have jealousy. You don't possess jealousy. You're not envious.
as I just proved twice from that Gemara. So I don't get it. Do they have kinnah? Don't they have kinnah? Which is it? Our Gemara in Chulin clearly says machmas kinnah they do. The Gemara in Shabbos, that was the winning argument, the Moshe Rabbeinu says the Malachim, the heavenly angels, don't have kinnah. Which is it? How could we possibly say in our story they were jealous to the point that they wanted to harm Yaakov Avinu, if based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu argued they have no jealousy at all? And like I said, there are multiple questions that he asks, and then he uses that Yisrael Reb Shamshon Rastropoli that we spoke out kama v'kama times to answer them. But the one answer to this question that I want to focus on from Reb Asher Weishleit, I felt was an absolute, absolute stunning gem. Open up your hearts and listen to me clearly, whether you're in the Heichal, listening live, or you'll hear the recording. He explains that Yaakov Avinu, certainly like those angels that were going up and down, and based on the Pshat from Shamshon Rastropoli, he saw his own image engraved upstairs in Shemayim. What Yaakov Avinu realized was the ability for a person to actualize his potential. The ability for a person to grow, to challenge themselves, to be challenged, to strive, to rise above it, to climb the ladder, in this case, both literally and figuratively, and to be able to actualize and maximize, to realize their potential. And then he explains so beautifully, it's precisely because we live in a world where we are challenged with taiva, with different kinna, being envious and jealous, that we're able to work on those midas to rise up. In other words, if you're not challenged, that doesn't give you the ability necessarily to become great. I'd like to bring, before I go back to his answer and explain it in more depth and detail, perhaps a fabulous pshat from the great Shem Mishmuel and the Avnei Nezer that will bring an extraordinary proof to what we're saying, and it will help us develop what Reb Asher Weiss is saying. We'll get back to it in about 60 seconds. Every morning in Birchas Kriya Shema we say, regarding the angels, V'chula mekablim aleihem ol malchus shamayim. Ol malchus shamayim, and ol is a burden. A burden represents something that's not pleasant. The Shem Mishmuel once asked the Avnei Nezer, if we're talking about malachim, why would we say that the avodah of malachim is described as an ol, as a burden? The malachim see the greatness of Hashem firsthand. So they have a natural desire to glorify His name. So why in the world would we say about angels, oh, malchus shamayim, what's the burden? They see the greatness and the grandeur and the magnificence and the splendor firsthand. Listen to the power of Avnei Nezer as he answered the Shem Mishmuel. It is indeed an ol, a burden. The burden is that they have the realization they can never change. They could never improve their status. Whatever level their honor they were created on, that's it. That remains that way, status quo. Not being able to change, not being able to climb the ladder, not being able to improve their status, that's indeed what makes it an ol. In other words, he answers so powerfully that the burden, the oil, lies in the fact, the inability to improve and to change. In that sense, not being able to achieve true greatness. That's a burden. The beauty, based on the Avnei Nezer and the Shem Mishmuel, that mankind has, is that there are different challenges, whether it's taiva, whether it's kin, or other things that impede and get in the way. But greatness comes from the fact that there are these deficiencies, there are these challenges, and yet you're able to rise
to incredible heights. That's what Yaakov Avinu in his dream realized. That despite a person's limitations, and despite, or should I say precisely because of all of those challenges, that's what gives us the ability to ascend. That's what gives us the ability to actualize our potential and maximize our innate greatness. That's why, as I reference again the Pshat of Avnei Nezer, they who can change their status, they who remain exactly what and who they are, without growing, without diminishing, without changing, without developing, that's an oh, that's a burden. Baruch Hashem, we, flesh and blood, mere mortal, don't have that oath. Because we have the ability to confront the adversity and all of the limitations and deficiencies and still be able to achieve incredible greatness. So now, perhaps the most magnificent part of this year. Reb Osher Weiss says, you didn't read or explain the Gemara correctly. We asked the question that our Gemara in Chulin says they have jealousy, yet the Gemara in Shabbos says apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's no jealousy amongst them. So he says so beautifully, a careful reading of the Gemara will show you didn't read it well. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask the Malachim, Klum yesh bachem kina, do you have jealousy? Rather, what he said was, Klum kina yesh beinechem. Beinechem means amongst yourselves, amongst you. Meaning, amongst yourselves. Beinechem. Is taka resounding no. There is no kina. Why? Because as we said for the last 5, 6, 7 minutes, the malachim amongst themselves, they're not jealous. They're all created on an exact precise level. The level that they're on, exactly where they are. None of them grow. None of them diminish. None of them change. None of them develop. That's it. As we said, it's an O. So if everybody remains exactly the same, of course there's no jealousy. There's no reason to experience being envious or jealous of any other angel. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu carefully worded and said, Klum yesh beinechem kina. Is there any jealousy, angels, amongst yourself from one malach to another, from one angel to another, from one angel to another? There's no jealousy. How could there be? Why should there be? It wouldn't make any sense. They are what they are. They are who they are. They stay on the same level. They don't go up. They don't go down. Klum yesh beinechem kina? Of course there's no reason to experience jealousy. It wouldn't make any sense at all. They're stable. They don't face challenges. They don't have, you read, the struggles, anything to overcome, and consequently there's no reason at all for one angel to be jealous of another. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask, I meant to say, Klum yesh bachem kin, I apologize. In other words, he asked, yesh beinechem? No, beinechem not. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, yesh bachem, is there jealousy in an angel? Because what an angel is jealous of is of us, of man. And that's indeed what the Gemara in Chulin says. The angels wanted to harm and endanger Yaakov Avinu, machmas, kina, jealousy. Because indeed, towards us, they are jealous. They're jealous of what we could achieve. They're jealous, like the Avnei Nezer said, that it's not an O. They're jealous of the fact that we could achieve a Shlemus and accomplish extraordinary greatness. They don't have that ability. So in the most stunning and elegant fashion, Reb Osher Weiss explains, the Gemaras don't contradict themselves. The Gemara in Shabbos is talking about Beinechem, one angel to another. There's no jealousy or being envious. For what? It wouldn't make any sense. But vis-a-vis an angel towards mankind, vis-a-vis Malachim towards mere mortal flesh and blood, do they have what to be jealous about us?
Absolutely. Do you hear that? Do you hear the words that just came out of our mouth? That means the angels are talking jealous of us. Because every time we overcome a temptation or being envious or jealous, or we don't get angry, or we don't speak Lashon Hara, or we don't give in to a lack of modesty, we do something proper and sneeze, we're careful with our Shmiras Haloshon, we're meticulous with our Shmiras Shabbos, we go ahead and push ourselves to learn more, better Tzvilah B'Tzibur, we answer Amen, we do mitzvahs better, our Shalom Bayis is better, whatever it is, we're growing, we're improving, our status is changing, we're developing, greatness is being grown. At that moment, angels are jealous of us. Indeed, that's the way you understand the Gemara in Chulin, that they were jealous of Yaakov Avinu because they witnessed what Yaakov Avinu saw, those angels going up and down and being able to match up the images. I guess that would be an extraordinary bracha for every one of us. May the angels be jealous of us. Let them have what to be jealous about us. It means that we take those limitations, those deficiencies, those challenges, and we use it not to impede, but to help our growth. To help us mamish achieve Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Yes, the way we started this year, angels going up and down, Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, or whatever your name is, to be able to hear it twice. Now that's taka what would make the angels jealous of us. How does a person achieve that level? How does a person create that kina amongst the angels, which means we're achieving greatness? I saw a beautiful pshat from the Telzer Rosh Hashiva of Chaya Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. It's based on a little bit of the same idea that the Malbim brings down. The Malbim interprets this dream of Yaakov Avinu as referring to Yaakov Avinu himself. But the Telzer Rosh Hashiva of Katz says so beautifully that this dream of Yaakov Avinu at the beginning of the parsha should be understood in light of the Gemara and Brachos that famously says, you know, we dream from time to time at night. The Gemara famously tells us that you are shown in your dream that which you had been thinking about subconsciously in your heart. He says that's what happened to Yaakov Avinu. He was always, based on what we've said until now, pondering ways to further develop himself spiritually, to be able to grow and to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was now being shown in a dream a lesson that would help him on his spiritual quest that he always thought about consciously or subconsciously, about reaching heaven, about getting closer to Hashem, serving our master, achieving innate greatness. He was now being shown in a dream that if you have devotion, commitment, and hard work, I hope you heard what I just said, then it's accessible and within your reach. Now, why did he have to see this with rungs of a ladder? Why not make a straight ramp on an incline? I have a good idea. Bridge. Bridge from here to there. Bridges. Ramps. Why a ladder? So he answers so beautifully because the rungs of a ladder symbolize level by level. Step by step. Rung by rung, one at a time, is a spiritual, it's ascending to spiritual greatness, climb higher and higher. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in one jump like you might think with a bridge or you might think with a ramp. It's a gradual progression. You have to have the ambition, you have to have the sheifa, the passion, the enthusiasm. Work yourself up rung by rung. And like I said earlier, sometimes you have to toil, sometimes you have to cry, sometimes you have to sweat. You have to go on despite these obstacles. And therefore, he says so beautifully, the metaphor of the ladder was teaching Yaakov the lesson that was she'ifa and ratzain, rung by rung, step by step, the spiritual ascendancy is possible. And I thought that was so crucial. I want to, before we conclude the shiur, and share a magnificent, inspiring story. I think this pshat from the Telzer Rosh Hashiva explains why for us it's not an O. How for us to make the angels, so to speak, have kinna, view every day as a ladder, not as a miracle jump and as something you could dream extraordinary thoughts. You could dream something beyond your grasp and beyond your reach, but to achieve it with toil and devotion and commitment and passion and enthusiasm, hear me clearly. Remember, ladder, step by step, rung by rung, one at a time. That's the way to do it. It's a little by little that's going to make that extraordinary difference. For those who were at the yard site here Friday night, that I had the schus to say in memory of my father's atzal, and I hope that people were inspired by that shir. I ended with an incredible story that I was privileged to hear a week ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael for the yard site. A Rebbe in the yeshiva shared it with me. It was such an incredible story. I'm holding up the paper. Not only did I write down the story word for word for word as he said it, but the only paper he had was from his attendance sheet of his Talmidim. So if you take a look here in the Heichel, you'll see on one side, it tells you how his students are doing and where they were on what day. But it's the back that I'm going to quickly read to you to end the shiur. One of the most inspiring stories ever. I've said it countless times. And let's end the shiur with it now. He said a story about his grandfather. And his grandfather, for decades, a wonderful, wonderful man, but primarily the extent of his learning was a little chumash. And the rabbi's speech, the Rav's drasha from Shabbos to Shabbos, now I obviously feel very strongly about a Rav's drasha from Shabbos to Shabbos. I hope that the Rav's drasha will inspire people. But his point to me was that pretty much the extent of his grandfather's learning was the drasha from Shabbos to Shabbos and a little bit of Chumash. And I quote, when his grandfather was 88 years old, 88 years old, you hear me? He said to his grandfather, Zaidi, let's start learning Mishnayos. He said, my grandfather at first was a little bit reluctant. He never learned Mishnayos. I told you the extent of his learning. So he said, no. Let's learn 5-10 minutes a day. Let's do 2 Mishnayos a day. The grandfather acquiesced. He started. He enjoyed it. They made a schedule every day. I think that's called like the ladder, step by step, rung by rung. Is that not what it is? He did 2 Mishnayos a day. And after a year, they finished Seder Mayed. So at the age of 89, his grandfather made his first siyum in his life on Seder Mayed. The next morning they decided, let's keep going. 2 Mishnayos a day, step by step, rung by rung, step by step. That's the ladder, that's the greatness, that's what causes the angels' jealousy, kinna. The next year they finished another Seder, another Siyum. One Seder and then the next. And as you know, Mishnayim has Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. That which he started at the age of 88. At 95 he was able to say the sweet words that he made a Siyum Hajin Aloch Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He finished all of Mishnayos. The next morning after that siyum, they decided to continue, but now let's try Gemara. So at first the grandson chose the Gemara Megillah. It took them a year to learn. He made a siyum on his first Masechta Gemara at the age of 96. I quote, then we decided to do Tainus. He then made a siyum on that at the age of 97. Let's keep going, rung by rung, step by step, rung by rung. They then learned Sukkah. And at 98, he made his next Siyum. What now? Where should we go? What should we do now? Brachos was decided upon. The grandson told me to be honest. He said, Rabbi Shapiro, I don't know. We're going to do Brachos? Brachos has more words than any Masechta and Shas. Word-wise, per daf, word-wise, it's the long, long, long Masechta. And he told me, I was thinking, my grandfather's 98, and we're starting Brachos then? On his 100th birthday, he made a Siyum on Gemara Brachos. And then he went on to tell me his grandfather passed away at the age of 102, Chof Aleph Shvat, 102 years old, a number of years ago. And he told me during those final 2 years what they learned Sefer Mada and the Rambam Ava, Sefer Mitzvahs, and other Inyanim. Now that's a Maisa. That's what it means to go rung by rung, step by step, rung by. That's what the Tolzer Rosh Hashiva was talking about. That's something the angels don't have, so for them it's an O. It's something we could achieve. It's something that causes the angels kina. May we taka bizoicha to achieve ascending spiritually, step by step, rung by rung, to achieve the extraordinary greatness that only we are capable of.